Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show-jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started. Welcome to episode number 6 of Big Talk for Breeders. I've decided to do a special episode where I'm going to look back at the previous 5 episodes where I've interviewed successful breeders throughout different countries. You may have noticed a theme at the end of each interview. I end each interview with a similar type of question. And the question is usually around the lines of, what advice would you give to a young breeder or to somebody starting off in their breeding program? And I feel it's very beneficial that we do this, and it's very beneficial that we give advice to the younger generations of the people beginning, and give them some guidance on what's worked well for these successful breeders. So at a recent conference in Mayo in Ireland, I was asked what advice would I give to young breeders. So I'm just going to run through a few points that I think are very helpful, and a lot of them are things that have worked for me. The first point was to clearly decide what you're setting out to achieve or what that you're trying to breed, because if you're trying to hit multiple targets, I feel sometimes it becomes very difficult to hit the one target that you're actually really hoping to achieve. So think about what's your ultimate goal or what's your ultimate mission in your breeding endeavors. So decide on the discipline, maybe the discipline or the market and the level within that as well. Obviously, plans change. Sometimes horses don't work out, but I think overall, it's very helpful to have a set mission or goal or direction that you're trying to go in. And then the second point was to look at the breeders, not just in your own country, but in all countries. Look at the breeders who have been successful breeding the type of horse that you want to breed. And as you start to study them, you might start to find, you know, common themes or practices amongst them. But don't just identify them. I think reach out to them, send them a Facebook message, send them an email, call them if you have access to their number, and see if there's an opportunity to either speak with them, meet with them, or go and visit your farm. Over the last number of years, that's been a real game changer for me, in that I've been very fortunate that a lot of breeders, both throughout Ireland and throughout Europe, have given me an awful lot of time and advice, and it's really helped me fast track the progress in our own farm. And what you'll notice is often people are kind of daunted reaching out to other breeders, or particularly successful breeders. They'll think that they don't want to bother them. But what I've noticed is that every breeder is more than happy to talk to somebody, and especially a young breeder, you know, talk about their own journey in the breeding world. Another point was to surround yourself with like-minded people, or people that are trying to achieve a similar thing. I often find that in the horse industry, if people have different interests, it can be very much an us or them. I think if you're surrounded by people who are trying to achieve a similar thing, it's a lot easier then to travel together, maybe go and visit breeders together, go to shows together, and you really help and encourage each other and push each other on to achieve great things. The next point was to buy the hard work of the successful breeders that have gone before you. And by that I mean, don't necessarily feel that you have to take a family pet or a mare that's been handed down to you that you deep down you might know isn't good enough, and you're trying to breed her to a good stallion, hoping to get a good filly to breed to a good stallion and try and upgrade in, you know, multiple generations. It's become much easier with various different databases, both in Ireland and throughout Europe, to, you know, to find the really good families that are consistently producing the performers in your chosen discipline. And then from that, you could try and identify a young filly or a mare that you could buy yourself, or maybe you can buy in partnership with another friend. But it could end up saving you 20 or 30 years if you buy straight into a, you know, a good filly or a good mare from a proven family, and straight away you have something that's significantly increased your chances of success, but also something that's probably improved the commerciality or the value of the offspring that you're going to have. Then when you do have foals from that mare, it's to try, the next point will be to treat the marketing of your breeding products as if you were to market a luxury good. don't advertise it and treat it like you're selling a commodity, because the realities are that for many, horses are a luxury good. And I think it's important, if you can market them as a luxury good, I think it'll help your success in the long term. So now what we're going to do is I am going to give you the snippets from the first 5 Big Talk for Breeder interviews, from the last question where they give their advice for young breeders. So first up, we're going to have Luke Henry of Stud Hero in Belgium. Episode 2 was with Marley Power of Suma Stud in Kilkenny, Ireland. Episode 3 was with Tom Brennan of Millhouse Stud, also in Kilkenny in Ireland. Episode 4 then was with Floris van Luken in Halston Stables in the Netherlands. And then finally, episode 5 was with Alan Waldman of Waldman Horses, also in the Netherlands. So I hope you find this episode useful, and please feel free to let me know what you think. For young breeders, either starting or that have only been doing it for a few years, what advice would you offer them at the moment?
To believe in what they do. Never lie with yourself.
Never lie.
Lie.
Yeah.
With yourself.
Okay.
Stay confident and conscious. And enjoy.
Well, as I said earlier, they must know why they're breeding. Why are they breeding? What are they trying to breed? And the advice I would give, there's so many things to consider other than just having a brood mare and going to the stallion. You know, there's what's going to happen to its progeny, who's going to buy its progeny, what are your fields like, can you take care of it? Are you going to be there to see that it foals and it's safe? Are you going to think of all those sort of things? You know, don't just breed because the mare's female. But most of all, breed what you want. Don't go by what other people want. You do it because you love the horses. You don't want to breed something just because somebody else says that's going to make you money. Not unless you're going into it like some people do. And there's a few people who do. I don't know whether they really like their horses or not. That's what I'd say, breed what you like. You must like the horse. You must be excited about what you're going to get. It's no good going to a horse just because. And people still do that. He's handy. I couldn't get anywhere. You know, didn't want her standing barren. And
what advice would you give to yourself
if you met
20-year-old Tom heading out into the breeding world?
Definitely Tom would have to find his own wife anyway, okay? But we get off that question again. 20-year-old Tom. I don't think me even talking to 20-year-old Tom would have worked. definitely not. It's a very expensive game to get into, okay? For me, 90% of it is the broodmare. I'll say 80, but it's in my head it's 90. So if you're starting off, you could start like we did, and for 30 years you could try and improve the breed and improve the breed and improve the breed and improve the breed, doing it on a slow base and all the rest. But it's a very, very, very slow process. So if I was starting off again, I'd go to my bank manager and I'd twist his arm some way and I'd try and buy into a breed that's already there. And that can be anywhere in the world. And I'm not saying that it's in Upper Grange or anywhere else, or in Images. It's somewhere in the world. Buy as good a breed as you can. And even if you want to do, get a buddy to come in with you. And then get twice your income, twice the money you're trying to spend, and buy a real, real good filly. And buy a good filly, maybe as a foal, a yearling, two or three, or something of that range. But buy what you can afford, or as far on as you can afford. And then think of the embryo option. If you keep a broodmare, it's a long, long, long term. Like, the market is looking for a top 7-year-olds now. Now, you can sell them as foals, you can sell them as 2-year-olds, you can sell them as 3-year-olds, you can sell them all along the way. But the market is predominantly looking for an 8-year-old rather than a 7-year-old, but an 8-year-old. That's nearly 10 years down the road for any program, and I don't think your bank manager would run with a 10-year program like that in horses. If I was to start again, I would go out and buy as good a filly as I could, and then try and take 3 or 4 embryos out of her, and then sell her when I can recoup my money plus a bit more money out of it, and then have maybe 5 or 6 animals coming on out of her to pick my best one again and do it again. The business has moved on so quickly. Every 5 years, if you came back and asked any of the breeders, they'll say Jesus, there's no way 5 years ago you got the tots going to get to where it is now. But it's accelerating at an unbelievable rate. That to stay up level with it, you have to be really improving all the time. So that's why breeding out younger horses is so important, as against waiting until the horses finish jumping at 14 and then breeding over for the next 6 years or 7 years or something. She's already 15 years behind where her genetics started off. So it's very important to be hitting them when they're younger and improving the genetics already, you know, at the three-year-old stage, by hitting them with the best stallion you can. So you're kind of staying with 90% of your thing in the mare the whole time and just improving it and getting it up all the time.
Yeah,
otherwise,
fast tracking, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't fast track it, I think you're going to get left behind. It's too late. It's too late by the time a mare is finished jumping to go breeding out of it, I think. And that's why people find that they say that an animal that jumps doesn't really produce something that's in general, that they say they don't, you know, they don't breed one that's as good as maybe what they were themselves. But I think they get left behind a little bit in the genetic front. But going forward, definitely the embryos. Ixie, I'm not a fan of Ixie. Just my own personal idea is that Ixie, when people are buying these embryos, the Ixie embryo, the semen, there's less selection on the semen. The semen is put onto the egg, as against the in any other form of insemination, the strongest semen, the strongest one gets there. Mm. So there's a bit of competition. Whereas the other way, you know, you could be unfortunate. Like if a million sperm are released in one covering, and one gets there, like there's a fair good lad got there. Okay, he has to be a winner anyway. Whereas if you're going to put him in a test tube and put him in, he could be the fella that was at the back of the class, and you covered your mare with him, and you don't know until he gets to 7 or 8 what's going to happen. So down the road, there could be a ticking bomb going to go off and go, Jesus, all these embryos are not going to work out like they were supposed to be. That's just my call on it. I'm not saying I'm right. That's just my silly idea. Mm. If you're not able to get anything out of a mare and you get something by ICSI, that's better than nothing, in my opinion. But I definitely do approve of the embryos, and I don't think it has any bearing on the foals whatsoever. Of the produce, but I am a little bit wary of the ICSI job myself. Okay, for a young guy starting off, I'd say aim high and attack it with 100% of your ability. You're going to get knocks, so you're going to have to really trust yourself, back yourself, and definitely know what you want to breed. If you're enthused by a leisure horse, a good leisure horse, breed a good leisure horse. If you want Connemara ponies or you want whatever, breed what you want anyway, first of all. Like, don't end up breeding something just because somebody told you to breed it. Breed whatever you want, or you won't be passionate enough about it, because you need to be passionate because there's too many knocks in it. And that's why nobody can actually tell you exactly. Nobody can give you full advice on what to do, or else we'd all be doing it. You're going to have to run with something that works or doesn't work.
No, I'm thinking about what advice you will give.
And actually, is there some advice that you were given at the beginning of your breeding career that you still believe to be true, or that had a big impact on how you did things?
No, I think you must go on the road a lot, visit breeders, older breeders. So that's what I did in when I started in Germany. I just said in Holstein, I visited breeders and you talk to breeders, and I think your own feeling is really important also. So follow your own feeling and thoughts, but yeah, you must stay open for the advices from the older breeders. They proved that they bred good horses.
Yeah, and they've lived through a lot of different experiences.
Well, that's my advice.
I think it's important that you follow your own direction, and it's always good to listen to other people and you take bits and pieces from everyone. But if you take 1% from somebody, it's already enough. It's more than what you had before. And that you don't get stuck. If it was easy, and then everybody did the same thing and everybody was successful. So I think you have to find your own way in it. And there's not a secret formula that anybody can give you. So it's going to come down to feeling, talent, passion, and if you follow, you know, your own nose, and you have a good feeling for it, I think it will work out.